Kelman on cliffcentral.com.
So she's the biggest female DJ in the country. And I've been thinking sort of the whole day, and I was listening back to your interview with Gareth that you did a couple of months ago.
Uh-huh.
Like, what's the first question for DJ Zintle? And I think coming into this, because I've seen so much about you and I follow you on Instagram and I see you on Snapchat and all of that. Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to say, if we were meeting for the first time, yeah, and I had no idea who you were and I just mm-hmm. walked up to you in a room,
mm-hmm.
what impression would you want to leave me with?
Wow. You know what? I don't know. I'm just easy these days, hey? Like, I'm just looking to hang around with people with the right energies and, yeah, you know, just ease of life. So if I just can leave you with just ease of life, you know, you just feel refreshed and you feel okay. You know, you shouldn't feel stressed after you meet me. You must just feel like things are easy. Life is easy. You know, I think we complicate life so much. And I'm, like I said, I'm just at that stage in my life where the people around me, the energies around me are just easy. Like, it's just free flowing stuff.
Seems like it's a good space to be in when you 100%. Kind of figure that out.
Yeah.
I was looking at your Instagram post a couple of minutes ago. Mm-hmm. It's kind of on the, you reposted a comment, I think, that somebody put up.
That's crazy. Cause I've been thinking about that actually.
It was about revenge.
Yeah. I saw that cause someone sent me a DM cause it goes down in the DM and, it says your best revenge is upgrading yourself or something like that. You know, the whole thing about your best revenge is your success. And I just thought, you know, I've been thinking about this revenge concept. And for me, it feels like if you are actively involved in taking revenge on someone, it means you're living your life for that person because everything that you do is inspired by them. So I just feel like you're a puppet, you know, for that person because you're just controlled by what they'll respond to. So you're living your life trying to prove something to someone. And the thing about that for me is I think for someone to be able to take revenge on you, they need to know you inside out. They need to know what moves you, you know? So you can't take revenge on me using success if I don't care about success. So you need to know me so well. So for me, just taking revenge on people seems like a lot of work. Just live your life, man. Just, you know, just leave.
Who does know you inside out?
I do.
Listen, that's a rare answer in 2016. It really is.
I do. And I have a few friends of mine. Nomdi and Masiko, I feel like they know me.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I feel like I am at the space where I know myself better than I've ever known myself. I think being a mother also helps.
The thing that really resonated with me in that post that you literally put up a couple of minutes ago, is that it feels like we're struggling to live in our own lanes. And revenge is
100%.
Revenge is a strong word.
Yeah.
But there is a massive element. I mean, I feel it when I go into Instagram or into Twitter. Mm-hmm. It's this instant comparison that you do of your life to other people's.
Yeah. And it's just this instant, it's a dependence that we have on other people. So if, because the thing is, we people, and people have different plans for their lives and things change, so much is happening, but we are so dependent on the approval of the next person, on looking at the next person and thinking, oh, this life must be popping, this is the life that I should be living, without defining for ourselves what it is that we want to do. So I am at the point in my life where I do not care what anyone thinks, and I think it's the best space to be in. If you think I'm shorter than I should be, not as pretty as I should be, it's your thoughts, like it's in your head, it's your burden to carry about me. I don't care. So I'm at that point in my life where I do whatever I want because I just don't see the point of they. You know that concept of they, will say they this, they. Who is they? When are we going to quantify these people? Because if I can find they and sit down with them, I can explain myself and say, actually, I don't care. I just want to live my life and be happy. And what my friends are teaching me now is just go where you want to be. Just be with the people you want to be with, because the idea is just to be happy and nothing else. So all these things that we see on Instagram, everyone is happy on Instagram. So yeah, why not? So I think it comes with age. I'm just at the point in my life where ease of life, man.
Is there any way outside of age to speed up that process? Because I'm a little worried because I feel like too many people, and I include myself in the sentence, are so comparative.
I think, I don't know if, I feel like it came with age for me, but also it came with how I was raised. My mother was very strong and very independent. So I have an independent way of thinking. I don't rely on what everyone's doing, on what everyone's thinking. I'm actually set in my little corner with whatever I believe in. My values are my values. I hang with people that share the same values. I'm not trying to fit in with anyone. Because it's such a job, really, to fit in. It is such a job. You don't know what's going to be new the next day. Like, there's so many things coming up. And I don't know, man. If I don't know. I feel like the kids... Now, compared to who I was when I was a kid, it's a totally different story. Like, I didn't have as much pressure as they have now. It's insane. So, I don't know. Maybe it comes with age. Maybe we all need to go through it so that we can learn. But, geez, man, it's such a hard place to be when you have to constantly be living your life for other people.
So when you look at the world that little Kara's growing up in.
Jeez.
It from a mom's perspective? What's wrong?
I am so stressed.
Why?
No, because I've been thinking about that. Sorry, I forgot about that part. Yeah.
When you look at little Kara and you think of the world that little Kara is growing up in, it stresses you out. You said
so stressful. But I'm actually happy because Kyra has strong women around her, unless something happens to us. her grandmothers are strong people. My friend, who's her godmother, is a strong woman. I feel like I'm a strong person. So, and I can see that she's actually a strong girl. I feel like she's actually like badass when I look at her. So I'm hoping that I can teach her the things that I need to teach her. I've been thinking a lot though about how I don't want to teach her about the fears that I have. You know, like, you know, we transfer our fears to our kids.
Yeah, you project.
We project. And I have a phobia for balloons, and she started picking up balloons and enjoying them. So I've had to just, like, learn to live with this and try and think and find a way to just get out of that zone of this is a balloon, it's going to kill me. Because I don't want to take my fears and put them on her. But generally, I just feel like she's a strong girl, and I am always thinking about what I need to teach her.
That's a high level of consciousness for another person to be so aware of someone else that you feel like you have to put your own fear not on hold but to take it down. It really it's a process of it completely not being about you.
Yeah, 100%.
Is that surprising to you that you could even be that not about you?
Because it's such a selfish world, but
when you have a kid, it completely changes, right?
It changes everything when you have a kid, because you're responsible for this person. You're not really responsible for anyone else. If it was a boyfriend or a sister, they're not your responsibility. Kyra is Kinan and I's responsibility. We are the people that are going to shape her. Like, she didn't even want to come to Earth, maybe. And we were just like, we're bringing you here. So the least we can do is just be our best so that we can teach her, you know, the things that we think are important for her growth or whatever. But I just want her to be happy, man. I don't know. We'll see. We'll figure it out. But it's just crazy that you have to be so selfless.
What has being a mom taught you about yourself that you had no idea that you needed to learn in the context of your own human experience?
In my own human experience, what has being a mom taught me? I don't know. I think more than anything, it has taught me anything, really. It amplifies a lot of the things that I've believed in for a long time. It just makes them real. You know, you believe in certain things, but they're not real until there's someone that you have to, you know, to teach these things
to. Your responsibility.
Yeah. So she's taught me a lot of things, you know. She's very strong, like I said. And I've learned from being a mother that it's not just about me. So even when you sometimes really don't feel like doing anything or don't feel like being in a specific mood, sometimes Kyra just wants your attention. Whether you're sad or whether you're happy or you're tired, she just wants your full attention. And that has taught me actually to just not make everything about myself, you know, because we do that very well, you know. So not everything's about myself. Not everything's about me. I need to sometimes just snap out of whatever I'm feeling just to attend to Cairo or to attend to life, to work. So I think that has been something that I've always known, but now it's more real because now I have to practice it.
This is a random question, but it feels like it could be right in the space and time. But what is, I can't be honest, but what is this whole life thing about in your perspective?
Life, oh, I don't know, hey? We have messed it up so bad. I just feel like we have effed it up like real bad.
I get depressed sometimes when I go on Twitter and I see what's happening. I just...
No. We have totally messed it up.
And I'm so pissed off that we can go to space.
You know what?
But we can't get along.
No. We can't go to... We've gone to space, but we can't get along. And DSTV still can't fix our signal when it's raining. But we've been to space. Like, what the hell? But anyway... If we were all doing this just to be happy, can you imagine? Like, if our motivation was just, like, not revenge, not killing, like, even if you wanted to kill someone just so you are happy, if the motivation was always happiness, I think we'd be doing much better. But there are so many motivations, like, there's greed, there's revenge, there's all these other negative emotions. I feel like life is just about being happy, but we chase happiness so much that we lose track of what we're chasing because we get caught up in all the other stuff that is so wrong that we actually forget that we were actually chasing happiness in the first place. So I buy a house because I want to be in this beautiful house and live with my child and be happy. But now I've made it about taking revenge on you. So now the motivation has changed. So I just feel like if we could just try and make everything about happiness, just go to work because you want to be happy. Go drink because you want to be happy. Smoke weed because you want to be happy. Have sex not because you want to ruin someone else's life. Just do things because you want to be happy. Maybe life will just be a little bit better.
Do you think, though, that to understand happiness, you have to be unhappy? I don't know. You see, and this is where it gets tricky because you start going down this rabbit hole of like, in order to appreciate that, do you have to not...
This
in order
is so
to be,
depressing,
but I'm
my
saying,
gosh.
In order to like appreciate money, do you have to never have had money? It's that kind of comparison.
I don't know if that's true, hey?
I don't know.
I don't know.
It's like, I think of the same thing when it comes to being a wildly successful entrepreneur. Uh-huh. Do you have to be Simon Cowell at 30 that loses everything to appreciate?
I'm not trying to be.
But I'm saying.
I'm just saying.
But you've been through things or whatever. There's been shitty times. Yeah. Do you have to not experience something to appreciate it and be grateful for it when you do have it?
I don't know. But all I know is for every moment or for everything that you go through in your life, there has been a moment of preparation. Whether you are paying attention or not, you have been prepared for that moment. So you get what I'm saying? I don't know whether it needs to be in a negative way or a positive way or whatever way, but for every experience that you are going through, you have been prepared for that. So you might not know, you might know, but that's the consciousness that I'm dealing with now. I know that for every moment, I have been prepared. I might have not paid attention, but now I know that for every single thing that I go through, there was preparation for it somehow.
And then I guess it kind of makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you play the victim.
Yeah. Oh, that's easy. It's just that you just go, you will have to play the victim for the rest of your life. It's just, I don't know. It's just, it doesn't make sense.
What's happening with all these tattoos I see getting on Snapchat? Because with you, I feel like it's probably motivated by some deep philosophical...
Oh, come on.
I don't know. Well, after the past 15 minutes we've had, it's likely.
Dude, you depressed the hell out of me, actually. Because I was just here to talk about...
No, we're going to talk about...
Light things.
We're
going to
talk about
it
in a second.
Like, all those questions that you wrote there, you have now ignored.
No, we'll talk about bushfire in a second. Don't worry, MTN. It's okay.
So now... The first tattoo that I have is a rose. Actually, both are roses. This big one on my arm.
Right
arm, forearm,
yeah.
When I was going through the shittiest time of my life. And
it was recent, that.
Yeah, this was like 6 months ago.
Okay.
Yeah. So everything was so painful. Like, everything was so painful. And when I got this tattoo, it was so therapeutic because it was just like, pain, but it just made sense. You know when you can make sense of pain? Because I couldn't make sense of a lot of pain at the time. But when I had the tattoo, there's a needle that is drilling into you, pain. You know why you're hurting. So it made so much sense. It was just so therapeutic. Now Zinhle goes and decides 2 weeks ago to get this one on her hand of a rose with Cairo's name on it. But because I'm so happy right now in my life, this tattoo hurt like shit. Like, it was so, cause now pain doesn't make sense in my life right now. Like, I am so happy.
Yeah.
So this was just so painful. It was excruciating. Like, it was horrible.
Why rose?
This one was, I saw an image on Instagram of a girl that had a sleeve that was just roses and was amazing. And I just liked it. But also for what I had gone through in my life with the father of my child, it was just like with everything that happened, a rose is still a rose. So it made sense. It was just like, you know, click, click.
Are you spiritual? Are you religious? Where are you getting all this wisdom?
I'm aware. It's awareness. It's like I'm just present in my life now. I'm like so present.
I wish we were giving more tips on how to do this.
I don't know. This conversation is so depressing. Can I just do all my interviews with Gareth? Because he's so much fun.
I think it's a lot of it's to do with the fact though that you put out all this stuff that is deeply emotive and deeply philosophical. And in going through your stuff before this, that's the stuff that I resonated with and thought, well, there must be someone of depth behind all of this.
Yeah, no, I'm fully present in my life. I don't want to have or see events that I can't make sense of. I'm just like, everything happens for a reason. Like, and everything is as it should be. Right now, me and you are in this room alone. Everything is as it should be. We shouldn't be questioning why we're here, worried about, oh, if I leave here, would there be traffic? Like, just leave now. Like, just leave right now. This is the moment, you know? We stress ourselves so much with living in different moments and we don't pay attention to the moment that we're actually in right now, that by the time we're like, it's Friday, you're just like, oh my gosh, the week, where did the week go? You need to live in the present so moment so much that it should overwhelm you. You should be like, oh my gosh, this moment is so big. So I'm like at Cliff Central with all this yellow and I'm just living my life and I'm present. I'm not worried about, oh, what is Cairo going to have for dinner? Is Cairo's blister on her foot going to heal? Or am I going to be stuck in traffic when I leave here? Even when I'm stuck in traffic, it is as it should be. I'm here for a reason. So I need to leave for now. Huh. I'm not trying to leave for the next moment. I'm not trying to think, oh, geez, my mom might die. Ah, no, my mom is alive. She's here. We're leaving for now.
Do you think that this young woman growing up in Dannhauser would be surprised, and in what way, or what would she think of what you are on the 12th of May, 2016?
Definitely surprised.
How so?
Because I was very mediocre in my thinking when I was a child. I was very intimidated by big things when I was a child. So much that I didn't know what I wanted to do when I grew up. I didn't think for myself half the time. I was taken care of by my sisters. I didn't take care. I didn't do anything when I was growing up. Didn't have any chores, nothing. I was just that girl that was just bouncing around. And a lot of things intimidated me. And I just couldn't think big. I remember even when I went to UJ to study, my friends were just like, oh my gosh, we're going to have businesses. We're going to be those kind of people that are employing people, you know, entrepreneurship. This, I was just like, great girls, hold tight. I'm that girl who's going to be employed by someone. The responsibility of keeping the company going will be someone else's. I'm not trying to leave and take any risks. I'm just trying to be like, okay. But now, like, I'm the total opposite of that person. I'm just leaving it up now.
Yeah, you're full every moment of every day.
Yep.
And you can see it.
Yeah.
What's the big takeaway here? Here was DJ Zinhle on Cliff Central with this energy in this space and time. And by the way, I fully believe in all of that.
Yeah, I hope so.
I really, really do.
Yeah, no.
I want to get better at even, you know, being aware and all of that. But what's the big takeaway? I mean, you must just have mammoth amounts of young South Africans, old South Africans, people that, I don't know, let you into the problems in their life. Your Instagram inbox must be ridiculous.
It's crazy. Jeez.
But if there's one message that, you know, the life and times of DJ Zintle imparted on the world,
what would it be? What would it be? Jeez, can we just stop nurturing pain? Like, can we stop breastfeeding pain? Like, it's not a baby. It's not supposed to grow. You know, we are, like you said, I get insane amounts of DMs, and I don't discredit the amount of pain that people, you know, are in, or the how big the situations people are involved in. But when you're hurt in your hand, that's just that the hand must be hurt, not your whole body. Because what we do is, so I'm hurt by a job that I lost or whatever, then I start translating that pain to all parts of my life. Like, now I'm depressed about Cairo. I'm depressed about, for me, that was the big thing. I didn't want to take the pain of losing the father of my child and translate it to every area of my life. I didn't want to grow this pain to other areas of my life. And also, what people don't do very well is when you are hurt physically, you go and you get something so that you can heal. If your arm is broken, you put like this concrete thing on so that your arm is fixed. Mm. But the minute you are bruised emotionally, you just sit and wait. Like, what are you taking for your emotional healing? Like, what are you doing? Like, what medication, like, what are you doing to heal emotionally? That's why I get emails like, it's 5 years later and I haven't forgiven him. Because you haven't done anything to heal yourself from what happened.
What did you do?
I did everything. I went like on a whole spiritual journey. Like, everything that can reassure you in that moment, you need to go. I have motivational books, motivational talks, T.D. Jakes, Oprah, every single
thing.
She's
great. She's like, yeah, crack cocaine on YouTube.
Exactly. So like, all those things, just invest in your emotional well-being. Even if you're not hurt, just... Listen, there's so much shit going on in the world. We absorb so much rubbish from TV, from Instagram, from all social media. Like, you need to cleanse yourself at some point. I went through a phase where I unfollowed everything that could bring a negative emotion on Instagram. I don't watch TV unless I know I'm watching. Like, I don't want to absorb. I don't watch the news. I don't want to hear about bad news. Like, we're not aware of the things that we allow into our brains. You know, even the stories we share with people, about whether it's about me or someone else, when someone comes to you and they talk negatively about someone else, that's the energy they bring into your space. Even wishing bad on other people, that's an instruction that you're giving to yourself, because your brain can't tell the difference. So if you say, I hate Zintle so much, I wish this on her, your brain does not function like, oh, that's for Zintle. The brain takes it as an instruction to yourself. So these energies that we bring to ourselves are so bad. But what are we doing to counter that? It's like motivation runs out. What are you doing on a daily to make sure that you stay motivated, you stay positive? I have a friend of mine who's just like, oh my gosh, can you just leave us with the positivity? I'm not trying to live a negative life. I'm not trying to be in a negative space. We absorb so much rubbish from the news, from TV, from social media, from all kinds of things. Like, can you just spend a week trying to absorb the positive stuff? Like, just listen to T.D. Jakes, listen to Oprah, listen to people that inspire you. If you want to be rich, start looking at what rich people do. I follow Isabel Dos Santos, the highest paid woman in Africa. That's who I should be following on social media, because that's what I want to do. I don't follow people that post negative things, because that's not where I'm trying to go with my life. So consciously be aware of the things that you're absorbing. That's all I'm saying. Just be aware.
Is it cool for you that people absorbing you, and geez, I mean, the past 30 minutes, it's very positive. It's rooted in, it's been a hectic frickin' life. But it just seems really positive.
It's a choice. It's really a choice that you have to wake up every day and make. Because some people say, oh my gosh, it is so hard. But it is hard as a whole. But really, choosing is one moment at a time. Right now, I'm choosing to be this way. So I'll see something that upsets me, that hurts me. I'll stop immediately and say, why does this upset me? I promise you. even if I see something on social media, I stop myself and say, okay, now I'm attending to this emotion. Why does this upset me? Hmm. What can I do about this? And then I decide, okay, this upsets me because of this. If I can't figure it out, I call my friend. Why do you think something like this upsets me? And then she tells me, and then I make sense of it. And then I say, okay, now that I've made sense of it, I no longer want to be upset by this situation. So I'm releasing it. It's not part of my universe, and I'm letting it go. I don't ignore any emotion. Sometimes I want to be oblivious to a lot of things, but I deal with emotions head on. If I see something that upsets me, or if I think of something that could potentially upset me in the future, I think about why it upsets me. What can I do to fix it or to prepare myself for it? But I'm not trying to live a life of fear or uncertainty or being uncomfortable. No.
Hmm. I wish we weren't out of time.
Bushfire, maybe.
Yes. Yeah. MTN Bushfire 2016, 10 years of fire.
Yay.
DJ Zintler's playing.
Yeah. You know, speaking of MTN, big up to Casper.
Yeah, very cool. Great. He sent you a phone the other day as well.
He dropped it off himself in a Bentley. How cool is he? Jeez, man. That's inspiration. So, yeah, I mean, we're doing Swaziland Bushfire with MTN. I'm so excited. And I heard why they call it Bushfire. Did you hear?
Why did they call it?
I don't know if it's true, but apparently there's a weed element going on there. Not that I'm saying that I smoke weed, but I'm just saying that if it's in the air, if it's in the air, hey, you know?
This is very cool, yeah.
Yeah.
And we can get tickets for this, right?
Yeah, but you have the info.
I do have the info, but you've got me thinking about so many other things. But I can focus and I can read this for a second.
Okay,
you can go to bush-fire.com. Uh-huh. All the information is going to be there. What I can say is so flippin' fantastic, though, is that when you're at Bushfire, whenever you are actually watching DJ Zintler in whatever it is that she's doing, you can really frickin' know that there's a lot going on with that person, and that's cool.
Yeah, and that I'm insanely happy in that moment, and I hope you at Bushfire, like, also very happy.
Power.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. What this was cool.
That's DJ Zintler there. Kelman on CliffCentral.com.